periodically. We try to do it about every other week, every third week. We like you to get to know another couple, and we call that the Spotlight Couple. And we have a wonderful Spotlight Couple this morning, and I'm going to call Ross and Kim forward. These guys have been around from the beginning of Homefront, and I'll tell you, they hold a special place in my heart for a couple reasons, and I was just encouraging this morning. They're so real. They're just a really cute couple, as you'll see when they come forward. But they're just so real. And when you talk to them, it just oozes out of them that they, you know, have done a lot of things in life. But they're willing to share and they're open about it. But what also encourages me, and we have a handful of couples in Homefront like this, they're at a stage of life where they're empty nesters. And they really see Homefront as an opportunity to be here, not only be in community for them, but at the same time to serve. And to share their wisdom of raising kids with others. And it's just really special. So Ross and Kim, why don't you come forward? I'll hand the mic over to you. Give them a big old home front round of applause.
Do you want me to dance or do you want me to do it for you?
I'll just see how you can do
okay.
it. Okay. I don't need enough things to do. If I talk like this, can everyone hear me?
No.
I talk like this better? All right. Oh, okay. Okay, that's excellent.
Sorry, were you holding the microphone?
There we are. That's our empty nester picture. We enjoy going out in a Swiss community with church where we have in our street. That was a gathering. We got together with them at a venue that we enjoy, a picnic. I'm Ross. This is my wife, Kim. We've been married a short time. It's 29 years, 10 months, 6 days, 15 hours. Our anniversary is in April, one day after her birthday. I like to start with just a few verse. And I'm nervous too, so. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not dishonor. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. That was read to us on our wedding day. In 1970, I actually saw this beautiful lady at a Sunday school class. Didn't remember till years later when she reminded me that we went to the same church as children. Didn't know her, didn't touch families. We had two different types of families of churchgoers. One that believed and went all the time, and one that didn't believe, didn't go much. Then we jump to 1984. I'm going to look at a lot. I don't know. It's come easy. I jumped to 1984, senior year in high school.
Beautiful pictures.
Yeah, that's a nice next pictures. We ran into each other. She tore her ACL skiing, and she had to sit behind me in English class. And I was the one of the football players in high school. So the of course, English class, you should have paper, pencil. No, I did not have paper and pencil. So I asked her for paper, and she gave me paper and asked for pencil, and 5 minutes later, so. It's we started off that way, so we dated for 2 weeks. And told her that she's going to marry me.
Did not ask.
Right, I told her that I was going to marry her. But in the meantime, those 2 weeks we were doing a lot of things for me. My grandfather's still alive. He's 94. 94, celebrated his birthday. We were roofing a house my great grandmother's house. We were doing a peak, and I just asked him, How do you know the woman you love, the woman you want to love for the rest of your life? And he said, hand me a shingle. And and proceeded to tell me, he just looked at me and put his hammer down. He's a carpenter by trade. And just looked at me, you just know. But God tells you that you just know that you love this person for the rest of your life. Then hand me another shingle. So I went, actually, that's what the day I went back and said, you're going to marry me. And that's how that started. So we were 19. Kim was one day over 19, and I was 20. And we had these big plans. We didn't know what they were. 19, 20, married on our own in a little apartment. And then, okay, move on. The little apartment. So we started off with our struggles. Didn't know how to cook. Didn't know how to clean the same way. Didn't have any plans. Didn't have any counseling. All right, so we had everything against us on that side. We had went to several different things go on with Kim. She had like 9 different operations in our first 5 years of marriage. To have this woman things. So we had our first child. We were told we couldn't have, but we then had our first child a year later. Our son, who's 28 now and married. Forward one slide.
That's our son.
That's our son. Our son and his wife. They've been married for 7 years. I have to nod. 7 years now. They live in New Jersey. Our daughter's pictured there. She's 24, and she lives in Austin, Texas. They are both very successful, and we are a joy, just a normal parent to have normal children. We had no problems with our children, which was a blessing. So the first 5 years went by. We weren't plugged into the church. We thought we were doing right things, good things. But then the world came in. Between the first 5 years and then to year 10, 10, 12, 15, the world was tearing us apart. Okay, we invested into other things in our lives, our own personal growth, friends that weren't good for us, and we just the world was just driving a wedge between us. With these things, you don't know they're happening. They're very slow, very a night of being angry, one or two more nights being angry at each other, and you let them go. It'd be all right. Well, they boil up. And years later, they stack up. And if that's one of the things, to talk and to be together. So you talk, I'm mad at you, all right? And I will get over it, but I'm mad at you now. And just share. But we never did that. So we almost got divorced. Almost got separated, but didn't. And that's on the next, if you go back a slide, we renewed our vows at 15 years, and that's the second big kiss. Our daughter's there on the left, and then we're shoving Kate in each other's mouth again. So we renewed our vows and set forth on a new journey, a Methodist journey. We were Methodist by, I say trade, but... We brought up Methodist. we taught Sunday school. Our daughter there was starting Sunday school, so we taught Sunday school for 5 years. We started a preteen youth group at a Methodist church. Kim worked with marriage wedding coordinator at a Methodist church, and so we thought we were doing the right thing. But we weren't truly plugged in. We were plugged in doing things, but not plugged in with things, with God. Where am I at? Oh, this is Big Kiss. The Big Kiss, too. All right. We went. My job took me to Texas. This is your. Oh, I'm way ahead. Did I jump far?
It's okay.
Our job took us to Texas, and we spent 2 years there. In Texas, they have big churches, bigger than this church. And we enjoy that talk. We enjoy the community where it's a Bible-based church. So much so, it just renewed us into what we drive for our marriage. We've been here for a year and a half. When we came back, we're searched. And this is where we ended up. One of the first people we ran into is Bob and Kathy. They're here too. And we're going to put a little plug in for the Art of Marriage class here. It starts next week in the room next door at the same time. So if some of you want to come over there, it's too full in here, come on over. It's a six-week class. You will see things differently with that class. See things differently in your marriage with that class. Jason started off with the women are a gift to us. She is God's bride. All right. So I need to honor that. And I fail. So, but we always try. So, a segue for Art of Marriage. Kim and I will lead the first class. Bob and Kathy can't be there the first one. They'll be there second one, then take over. So the both of us will be there for a while. We talked about how we're going to describe our marriage, why we were doing this week, getting pictures, digging through memories, and stirring up old bad things, too. So we looked at the ocean as two things. The ocean washes away the sand and washes everything new with each stroke, but also has the huge waves in ups and highs and lows, like in our marriage. So we sit there and describe how things are going to be in our marriage. So there's two people bobbing in the ocean, and that doesn't last very long. You can't tread water for days or years or 30 years. So there's that life raft of Jesus that's always there. So we have to cling hold, grab hold, pull the other person in. Other person falls out, pull the other person in. So that's how we attribute to our marriage. We have highs, we have hurricanes, we have fights, we have love, we make up, we have love again. And then, but it's all about being, you can't be in the ocean of marriage, without being in the life raft with Jesus, with Christ. You'll sink. And that's what we know. We got through the struggles, emotional, physical. This is from a blog that Kim read this morning. Got through emotional struggles and emotions and physical and financial by the grace of God, and grace from Him and grace from each other. Where's my ad paper? Oh, I was told to wrap up soon. We've been married for 10,889 days. All right. I am turning 50, so that means I have 40 years possibly left, which is another 14,600 days. All right. I would gladly enjoy every day with my wife and don't want to miss one. All right, and she is my bride. And we noticed, that's one thing. We are known as Kim and Ross, or Ross and Kim and Ross, not Ross or Kim. People ask, will walk up to me, I'm alone, where's my bride? Where's Kim? They don't ask how I'm doing. They ask how my wife's doing. And so it's this: be together, talk, love each other. You're going to fight. You're going to make up. You're going to enjoy. Make her laugh. It works sometimes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Too much time.
Before we move on, I just want to pray for our time this morning. Greg's going to come up and bless us with a message this morning. For those of you that don't know, Bill Clark is also speaking over in the main services. Bill Clark, one of our very own, Dr. Bill Clark, and he's going to, I'm sure, do a great job. But I just want to pray for our time and for Bill. So let's bow our heads. Father, thanks so much for this morning to gather. Thank you so much that you allow a couple to be together for 10,000 days, that they stuck it out. Thanks for the testimony of Ross and Kim and the power of your work in their marriage. Father, I want to ask a blessing on Bill Clark this morning as he speaks over in services. Work powerfully through him, Lord, to preach your word. Pray for Greg this morning as he comes before us at Homefront to bless us with a message around big kids this morning. And Lord, we'd ask that you would be the one to receive all the glory and honor from it. Amen. We'll continue big kids this morning, and here is Greg.
Can you hear me? There we are. Great. So I want to go back to what you guys were talking about during table time this morning. How many of you grew up, just kind of a brief show of hands, how many of you grew up in a Christian home? How many of you grew up in a non-Christian home? How many of you find that question challenging to answer? Yeah. Yeah, I think that it's very challenging to answer. We all come from different backgrounds, right? And sometimes we grow up in a Christian home, although then you grow up and maybe you develop in your faith and you find that the Christian home that you grew up in may not have been very Christian at all. Or some of us grew up maybe in a non-Christian home, but yet it was really moral. And we grow up and the Christian values that we espouse today really fall in line with the morals that we were taught by our non-Christian parents. It all becomes very challenging. And so as we look at this big kids idea, this idea of how do we, as big children, how do we interact with our parents? How do we balance that interaction of honoring our parents? As Ross shared, he's from the Methodist trade. I grew up in the Baptist trade, and so hellfire and damnation is kind of what we do. And this was something that I learned very early. As a child, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. And it sounds so much better when it's coming from the King James, doesn't it? Thou shalt do this. It's like, you're going to do it or you're going to die. And sometimes that's exactly what I was told when I was a child. You're going to do this or you're going to die. And so, and sometimes I tell that to my children. Don't tell my wife that. But these are some things that we have to do. We have to figure out how to balance this with the leaving and cleaving aspect that Jason talked about last week. And so as we come from different backgrounds, what I want to look this morning at is how do we respond to that as adults? How do we respond to this idea of thou shalt honor thy father and mother as adults? And so when I started looking at this, I went to scripture and said, okay, are there any examples that I can look at as an adult interacting with their parents? Is there something that we can look at in scripture to kind of give us a guide and show us what to do? Well, there happens to be one, and it's this, Mark 3:31 through 35. And I'm going to read this, and this is Jesus, so I feel like it's a pretty good example. And it says, and his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Now, when I first read that, I thought, aha, Jesus is dishonoring his mom and dad. I can do it too. But is he? Is he dishonoring his parents here? Is he dishonoring his mother? Well, when you think about it, there's no way he could be. right? Because what do we know about Christ? We know he was a man that lived without sin. We know that honor thy father and mother is one of the top 10, right? So there's no way that this could be dishonoring. So what was it? Well, if you look at the context, what was happening is Jesus is teaching and the Pharisees are really fed up with him and they're conspiring against him. And his mother and brothers come to him at this time to kind of tell him to tone it down. Hey, man, you're going to get yourself killed. This isn't wise. You need to stop. And so that's what they're doing. They're coming out of good intentions. And oftentimes when we interact with our parents, maybe some of the advice that they give or some of the, you know, our interaction with them, it's all typically born out of love and out of good intentions. But oftentimes it doesn't really coincide with our belief systems, where our faith has led us, where we are developing our families in Christ. And so what is Christ doing here when he's saying this? Really, essentially, is he's saying, hey, look, I respect that you want me to stop, but you're outside of the will of God for my life here. And these people that are around me, they're coming alongside me in the will of God. And so this is what my mother and brothers, he's almost saying, this is what they should be doing. This is what it looks like. We're in God, in Christ together. We want to live that out that life. And so what Jesus was doing there is he is honoring. He's just not agreeing. And this is the hard part, I think, for us as Christians, is how do we balance these two? Does honor equal agreeing? I say it doesn't. It doesn't always equal agreeing. Does it sometimes? Yes. I mean, there are times when I've received advice from my parents or from Kathleen's parents that maybe I'm headed down one path and I get some advice from them and I have to look at it and say, this does align with Scripture and maybe I need to heed this advice. There are other times when I say it doesn't align with the Word of God and I don't need to heed this advice. But one of the things that Jason shared last week, I think we want to look at, it's this verse, and something jumped out at me as Jason was talking. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. The part that jumped out at me here was three words, in the Lord. It doesn't just say, children, obey your parents, no matter what's going on, no matter what they're saying is happening in your life, no matter what Scripture dictates, just honor them, just do obey them, do whatever they want. That's not what this Scripture says. It says in the Lord. And so the key there is in the Lord, and that's the heart of what Jesus was saying when he talked to his mother when she came to tell him to quiet down, is that she wasn't in the Lord. And so we have to assess the advice and the interaction that we have with our parents and hold it to that standard. Is it in the Lord? And so that sounds really easy, right? I mean, like I would love for there to be a big list somewhere where I could go and say, okay, is this in the Lord or not in the Lord? Okay, well, this is in the Lord, and so my parents are saying this, and so I can go with them here. It's not in the Lord. I can just show them the list. Hey, look, you're on the wrong side here, so we can't do this. We need to move on. Does anybody else wish they had a list like that for their parents? Yeah, so how do we do that? That becomes the challenging part. That becomes the part to where I can't answer it for you because there's not a list, right? There's not something that we can just say, this is in the Lord and this isn't. There are some things that are dead set. Yes, you are totally against Scripture. You're totally against God, and I cannot go that direction. There are other things that are somewhat gray that we have to, the interaction we have with our parents, it's like, well, I feel like my reading of Scripture is having me raise my children in a certain way, and I feel like God has led me to this way. My parents may not agree with that. So then what do we do? When we don't agree with them, then how do we interact with them? That can be one of the most challenging things, I think, as big kids that we have to do with our parents, is to disagree with them and do so in the Lord. Because we still have to be in the Lord when we do that. So there's all kinds of ways that we can find in Scripture to do that. I'm going to share with you one this morning. But the biggest thing that I can say is that in order to balance these things, you've got to be yourself. You have to be rooted in Scripture. You have to be grounded in Scripture. So one of the Scriptures that's helped me with this, it's really focused more on sharing your faith with non-believers, but I find that it applies a lot of times with just sharing anything with anybody, and with parents especially, and it's Colossians 4:6, and it says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." And when you're going into a conversation with your mother or with your father, and you don't agree with them, I would encourage you to think about a scripture like this. Think also about maybe, you know, where Paul shares that we are to live at peace with everyone, where it's within our will to do so. Those are great scriptures to go back to and to continue to remember and to think about. Because if you can do that, it's not always going to be a situation where you're going to walk away from that conversation with your mom and dad and everything's going to be okay and you're going to feel great. There's oftentimes going to be, you're going to walk away and it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. So I want to share with you a time from my life where I had to have a hard conversation with one of my parents. And I don't know that I did it all right. So I don't share this to say, hey, look at me and follow my example, because that's not at all what I want you to take away from this. I just want to share with you this situation because I feel like probably if I took a poll in this room that says, is anybody going through this with a mom or dad right now, that I bet a good number of hands would be raised to where folks would say, yeah, I'm having difficult interaction with my parents. So just going back to in 2005, I lost my mom really quickly to a bout of cancer in like a month span. And after that time, my dad, who... I grew up in a Christian home. I would say I grew up in a home that two born again believers, Christian home. And my dad, he went through a phase after my mom passed away to where I don't believe that you lose your faith, but he definitely backtracked. And, he went back to some ways that his lifestyle started dictating. He started living like he did before meeting my mother. My mother actually led him to the Lord. And for 36 years, he lived a very, you know, pretty godly lifestyle, especially if you knew his background and where he came from. Well, after my mom passed away, my dad, we're Texans. He decided that the life that he wanted to live was a honky-tonk lifestyle. And so he started going out to the country bars, and he met a woman, and they started having a relationship, and it soon became evident that he was going to marry this woman. This was like within a year after my mom had passed away. And it wasn't that dad had found somebody else that really weighed on me. It was that the lifestyle that they were living, and it wasn't a godly Christian lifestyle. It wasn't certainly... the type of Christian life that Kathleen and I were starting our new family with. And we had only been married for a couple of years at this time. And so when it became very evident that this relationship was going to progress, I had to have a conversation with him. Kathleen was pregnant with Malachi at the time. And so my dad lived in Austin. We lived in Dallas. Halfway point was Waco. And I can distinctly remember the Saturday morning that I asked him to meet me for breakfast in Waco. And so we sat down and I had to have a conversation with him that said, if essentially this, if this is the lifestyle that you're choosing, if this is the way that you're going to live out your life, then you're going to have limited interaction with our children. Because it's not congruent with what we're teaching them, and we can't have them be confused. Well, you can imagine how that went over. Not real well. So we sat at a Cracker Barrel in Waco for probably 2 hours. And long and short of it, he did end up marrying her. And things were really, really crazy, and we did have to limit interaction. I'm not going to go into all that, but that was crazy. But that's a time I want to share with you, that not to say that I handled it all right, because I didn't. I mean, looking back on that, there were times in that conversation where my speech was definitely not gracious or seasoned with salt. There are things that now that he's passed away that I wish I had back from that day. But I don't regret disagreeing with him, because it was the right decision for my family. And so this morning, what I want you to think about, or what I want you to leave with, isn't how can I agree with my parents, how can I live peaceably with them all the time, but moreover, how can I be in the Lord when I interact with my parents? What does that look like? It may not look the same for you as it did for me, but the only way that you're going to know is if you're in Scripture, if you're in the Word of God, if you're rooted in that, and you're continually praying for guidance and thinking about how God wants you to live your life. Because once you are rooted and grounded in Scripture, it'll come through in your lifestyle, it'll come out in your life, and it'll probably come out in your interaction with your parents. So with that, these are the questions I wanted to talk about this morning. Has there been a time in your life as an adult where you've had to disagree with your parents? How did you handle it? Do you feel you were in the Lord with the way you handled it? Was your speech seasoned with salt? And if you have time, would you do anything differently? So those are the things I want you to think about today. And I'll give you some time to talk.